Thank you, everyone. I just realized I apparently decided it was St. Francis morning. We started with All Creatures of Our God and King, which is his poem often referred to as Brother, Sun, Sister, Moon, and now the Prayer of St. Francis. And Frank's one of my favorites of all time, in case you're wondering. I like the fact that the current Roman Catholic Pope chose that name to move into the future. Francis, one of the great saints of old who tried hard to live the life that the gospel actually calls us to live. Now, some people may argue he took some of that on small extremes here and there, but I think he was making an actual genuine effort to live the life that Christ called us to. And that's not an easy thing. That's a difficult thing. We've been moving furniture around. Don't worry about it. The idea is I can actually, where I'm standing up in the choir now, I can actually see when Kevin nods and says, time to stop singing now. And so we're hoping that'll help us to follow directions, which many of us are very challenged at doing, whether we can see the director or not. So there you go. I'd like to read to you from Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'm going to be in chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. I know from my experience, and I know that the Bible reinforces this in many ways, that what we choose to dwell on, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to fill our minds, our hearts, and our lives with helps us become what we're becoming. So if we focus on negative things, then we're likely to become negative people. If we focus on angry things, then we may find ourselves turning into angry people. If we choose to focus on holy, helpful, upright, positive things, in today's case, if we choose to focus on being peaceful people, we become that which we focus on. So from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I like the fact that just in case you didn't get it when I said it the first time, he reinforces what he's teaching. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. How's that working out for all of you? Some of you have made worry into an art form. We'll talk to you later. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add his blessing to this reading from Philippians chapter 4. Will you take a moment and pray for me as you pray with me? Let us pray. Lord God, for your grace this day that makes us new, and for your peace that is beyond comprehension, thank you. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that these fruit that we're talking about are born of abiding in you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. As Sally was saying with the children, if you go out to an orchard or a vineyard, other than the human beings working there, you don't see a lot of effort. Apples and pears and peaches and oranges, grapes and even tomatoes, because tomatoes are technically a fruit. I know you are who you hang out with, but technically, tomatoes are a fruit. That you don't see the apples and the oranges and the pears and the peaches and the grapes and the tomatoes straining and making great effort to ripen. Have you noticed? Go out and look sometime. They're just kind of hanging out there. They are ripening. They are maturing simply because they are staying connected to the source. They're staying connected to the source of their nutrition, to the source of water. They are, in Jesus' language in John's gospel, abiding in the vine. The mistake we sometimes make as Christians, and it's very easy to do because we like to be in control. I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. And so somehow or another, we try to translate these teachings from the Bible into things that we have to make happen. The fruit of the Spirit is not formed in us through any effort on our part except this. We choose to stay connected. We choose to abide in the vine. We choose to continue to grow and mature by living our lives in the presence of God. Unlike the tomato, which can't do much other than wait until it's picked or fall off, I can actually disconnect myself. I can unplug from the source of grace and love and light and peace. I can unplug from God, and so can you. In fact, I probably do it on a pretty regular basis. My choice is to stay connected. My choice has to be to make sure that I'm connected. But by staying connected, I'm not straining and you know, like I just see an apple on the tree just kind of screwing its eyes and working really, really hard to get ripe. Thank you. It doesn't work that way, does it? You just abide. Abide. If, 2 weeks ago we mentioned, if you want love formed in your life, if the fruit of love is going to be formed within you as the fruit of the Spirit called love, then the way in which that's formed in me is by me staying connected to the giver of love, to the source of love, to the one that 1 John says is love. If I want joy to be formed in my life, if I want joy to become manifest in my life, then I need to stay connected to the source of joy. And that brings us to today. I realize whenever I put the title peace in a sermon title, at some point in the sermon, I'm going to sound like a Miss America candidate. What do we want, Miss America candidates? Thank you very much. That's right. We want world peace. There's a little shop in Harvard Square. I wonder if it's still there. But they specialized in goofy windows, you know, window displays. And one year at Christmas time, they had these green things that come out of pods, and they're all descending on parachutes to the planet. And of course, the caption is "Peas on Earth." About 6 months later, using them, because these are pretty sharp and very frugal people, using those same little green critters, this time all of the green critters were going into a blender. And the caption said, yeah, visualize world peas. I'll wait. Peace. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All right, some of you grew up in the same era I did. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for war and there's a time for... And the turtles added, I pray it's not too late. We could ride on the peace train together, I guess. Oh, you didn't make the noise. Come on. Yeah. Ooh. All right, we're going to ride on the peace train. We could have peace like a river. Peace could be flowing like a fountain. Peace could be doing all kinds of things. Something we like to sing about. It's something that's the theme of a lot of folk music. It's something that is oftentimes the theme of stories, of TV shows, of, well, drama would be something that would end with peace, I'm suspecting. That it's something that is a subject that shows up a lot, isn't it? Excuse me. I was with a friend of mine teaching all day yesterday, and for some reason my voice isn't quite working today. That and the 9 inches of snow they got in Syracuse yesterday. oftentimes, I think the mistake we make when we talk about peace is that oftentimes we talk about peace, as Sally was talking with the children about this, more often than not, we talk about peace as if it's the absence of something. There is peace in our home because the conflict is gone. There is peace in our world, in our country, in our on our planet, on our continent, in particular countries, because there is now the absence of war. That we tend to use peace in the negative. From the John passage, Jesus says, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives," because the world understands that peace is the absence of something, and the peace of Christ is something completely different from that. In fact, the peace that God gives us as we look at the fruit of the Spirit is not the absence of something. It is a presence of the fullness of God in our lives. How do you find inner peace? Go to your bookstore, look on the self-help shelf. You'll find at least 30 titles with those words somewhere in the title. You don't sweat the small stuff. That's how you find inner peace. You find inner peace by, I don't know, gourmet cooking, I guess. I haven't looked at all of them, but there's a few of them out there. You fill in the blank as you go. How do you find that inner peace, right? Now, there's a school of meditation that suggests that to find inner peace, what you have to do is completely empty yourself of striving. You have to empty yourself of passion. You have to empty yourself of ambition. But I think oftentimes, and that, by the way, that's a great idea. Focus on something better, right? But oftentimes what happens when we begin to think that way is that we find ourselves trying to live that negative. If I take something out, I need to have something stronger inside of me, which is why that campaign, Just Say No to Drugs, can't possibly work. I mean, how is that working? That campaign has completely obliterated illicit drug use in the country, right? Except in Colorado, where it's no longer illicit. Anyway, just letting you know, I read the papers. Well, actually, I read them online, so actually there's no paper involved, which is enough language. Isn't that funny? Anyway, but I digress. The problem with emptying myself of ambition, of striving, of those things, is, I don't know about you, but I've come to discover that human beings are somewhat hardwired to grow. That there is a part of your heart, there is a part of your mind, that when things don't go quite the way you want it to go, when things are not quite as good as you know you can do, you come back and try again. That you're trying to improve. You read books so you know more. You take classes so you learn more. You practice things so you get better at it. That's in our wiring. And if I drive all of that desire to get better out of myself, I think I'm going against essential human nature. And the reality also is that some conflict is essential. I guess the only way I could truly live at full peace by emptying myself of those things is if I isolated myself on a mountain someplace and never had to deal with human beings. By the way, I'm an extrovert. At that point, I would go completely crazy. So that's not going to work for me. That somehow or another, I have to find a peace within, an inner peace that actually works when I'm around people. Does that make sense to you? Something that's still going to function when, you know, somebody says something that makes me moderately unhappy. Or when some jerk cuts me off in traffic, for that matter. You know, I'm sorry, I'm just completely carried away there. That with human beings, there's always a difference of opinion. Let's talk theology. Or politics. We'll easily all agree on that because we all love Jesus and, yeah, doesn't work that way. It's the difference of opinion that makes a horse race, for crying out loud. You know, otherwise, why bother? Well, and then again, in terms of the horses, for their sake, why bother? But that's a whole other story for another time. fruit is not born in the absence of something. Fruit and inner peace is born not just in the absence of those things, but in the fullness of the presence of God. The point of when I take time to meditate, the point of my meditation is not just to empty myself of all of that stuff, but is to empty myself of all of that stuff so that the Holy Spirit can fill me. And that out of that fullness, I can live this life. I can't live this life out of an emptiness. I have to live this life out of a fullness of the presence and the power of God. And whether it's inner peace or my household or Miss America, I can't do that in a vacuum. I can't simply live a nothing. The Bible's call to us is to be authentic followers of Christ. And authenticity requires an honest look at both ourselves and the world in which we live. Because no matter how empty I am, the world is still the world. Which I think is why Paul in this passage says, "And the peace of Christ, which is everyday, common, and mundane." Now what it says? The peace of Christ, which is beyond understanding. It's beyond comprehension. When you're in the middle of conflict, when everything else around you is going to hell in a handbasket, and somehow or another, you are still at peace within yourself and can still function in the midst of that, everybody else looks at you and goes, "How can you do that?" Because that ain't normal. But if the presence of God is filling my heart, if the presence of God is filling my life, then I, in fact, can do that. And I, in fact, can live that more often than not. You understand? You know, perfection. You'll be perfect when you get to heaven. Worry about it then. In this life, you get it right 70% of the time. You're doing great. Because we're humans. And I somewhere along the line, I'm just going to give a series of sermons on what grace is. Because more often than not, we just need to give grace to ourselves. Not who grace is. Everybody knows who grace is. She's married to Ross. But what grace is. Sorry, I just looked there and there you were, so I couldn't let that go. The fullness of God to be filled so that we can live in peace. Now, how do you do that? Well, you do that by settling the big issue first. There's really only one big issue. Who am I? Why am I here? Purpose. That's the big issue. My Bible tells me that I was created to live life as the object of God's love, to live life in a love relationship with my Creator. He made it easy for me by sending Jesus to be the conduit through which I can have this relationship. Settle that issue, because otherwise you're going to have all kinds of crazy stuff clamoring in the center of your life and you'll have no inner peace at all. Settle the big issue first. The rest of it lines up pretty quickly. You may discover that with Christ at the center, with God at the center, that relationship settled, that you still got some crazy things going on out there. Well, you know, work on removing those distractions. You got stuff that's clamoring to be a center of you. Push it back out where it belongs. Let the power of God move it. And be filled with the abiding presence of God. Right? And then, of course, dealing with other people. Wouldn't it be helpful if I could just say five words and everybody's relationships would immediately be fine? Nope, it's going to take more than five. You've settled the internal issue, right? Love of God is at the center of our lives. And with the love of God at the center of our lives, we start to become something that the Bible actually calls holy. Now, I've met some holy people. You know what I've noticed about holy people? They don't stand out in a crowd. They're not walking around wearing little badges that say, "Hi, my name is Bob, I'm holy." It's just, you know, and if they are, they aren't. You can work that out in your own head later if you want, or see me after, I'll explain it to you. That they're just gently out there being salt, they're gently out there being light, they're gently out there being the presence of God, they're being channels of peace, channels of love, channels of mercy and forgiveness because of that song we just sang, that prayer of St. Francis. And so there are probably people you like being around, because holiness, being close to God, shouldn't be making us uncomfortable. It's helping us be around folks who are actually living into what we're called to live into. That's not uncomfortable. That's a good thing. Be part of that. Dealing with other human beings. You want peace inside. Keep short accounts and learn to forget stuff. I know. It's really easy, isn't it? But the truth is, what is keeping us from living fully into that inner peace is that we are clinging to old wounds and slights, old hurts, old offenses, and we're going through life just waiting for someone else to do it to us. And if we live our lives that way, there's no peace in that life. There's no strength in that life. There's no grace in that life. And if I'm living my life that way, you know what I'm projecting out there? I'm not projecting peace and love and joy out there. What I'm projecting out there is all that inner bitterness and anger and resentment and horrible, nasty, ugly stuff. I mean, if that's what I'm centered on, if that's what I'm focused on, if that's what I'm filled on, then that plays out in my life. But if the grace and love of God, the joy and love of God, the peace and love of God is what's growing in the center of me, then that's what plays out in my relationships. It starts there. In fact, if it doesn't start there, it'll never get there. This life is lived from the inside out. From the inside out. From the inside out. By the way, churches are transformed the same way. From the inside out. We go deeper. We learn to love each other. We learn to love more. And that becomes immediately attractive to people who are looking for authenticity, who are looking for community, who are looking for discovery of the big question. Why am I here? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing now? And then you might want to minimize strident stuff in your life. I know if you're married to them, that's a whole other issue, but half the room just elbowed the other half of the room. You couldn't see that from up there or from back there, but I was watching. Yeah, some of you are going, you know, I have found that sometimes the best way for me to be in a peaceful relationship with somebody else is to just stay away from them. Now, you laugh at that. You laugh at that. But come on. You got people in the workplace. You got folks in your neighborhood. You got, right? And every time you're around them, what happens? You just feel your blood pressure going. And then you go home and you scream and complain about it for a while and get on with it. That's what we do. And so sometimes the best, most helpful, frankly, holiest thing we can do is leave them alone and focus your energy somewhere else. Remembering Martin Luther King Jr. Today and remembering that he was a peacemaker. That peace without justice isn't really peace, and that he worked for a more just society. But if you study his life, you know that the big issues were solved long before things were written or marches were taken. That his life was lived from the inside out. A perfect human being, which is a way of saying he had all of his own flaws as well. But he strived to live the life that we're talking about. He strived to live with God, with Christ at his center. And that from that center, the love, the joy, the peace would emanate outward. Peace. Now, you only got 7 days to get to the next subject. You'll have to hold on. Next week is patience. Pray with me, please. Lord, for your grace this day and for all that you do for us, we are thankful. I'm grateful, Lord, that with you at my center, with your Spirit filling me and making me new every day by abiding in your presence, love and joy and peace naturally are formed within me and naturally flow from me. Help me, Lord, to be ever close to you. I ask this in your name. Amen.